The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
All right, it is a Thursday. Welcome to it. Nicole Sandler here at NicoleSandler.com, the Progressive Voices Network. YouTube, where else do we stream to? Twitter, Twitch, Facebook. All right, why hasn't this moved over yet? Hopefully, this will all work. There we go. Hi, okay, so I get so confused sometimes. But here we are. It is a Thursday, and it's a busy day at that. Not as busy here as it is over there. And by over there, I'm talking about the UK. So it's been interesting. In fact, this is what happened today. This is what happened today.
I came into office at a time of great economic and international instability. Families and businesses were worried about how to pay their bills. Putin's illegal war in Ukraine threatens the security of our whole continent, and our country has been held back for too long by low economic growth. I was elected by the Conservative Party with a mandate to change this.
Mm-hmm.
We delivered on energy bills and on cutting national insurance.
Yeah.
And we set out a vision for a low tax, high growth economy that would take advantage of the freedoms of Brexit. I recognise, though, given the situation, I cannot deliver the mandate on which I was elected by the Conservative Party.
Oh, no.
I have therefore spoken to His Majesty the King to notify him that I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Oh.
This morning I met the chairman of the 1922 committee, Sir Graham Brady. We've agreed that there will be a leadership election to be completed within the next week. This will ensure that we remain on a path to deliver our fiscal plans and maintain our country's economic stability and national security. I will remain as Prime Minister until a successor has been chosen.
Well,
thank you.
Well, apparently they want the successor in really quickly. So just to show you how quickly this turned around, the first thing you'll hear is Liz Truss yesterday, followed by Liz Truss today.
Mr. Speaker, I am a fighter and not a quitter.
She's a fighter, not a quitter.
I am resigning as leader of the Conservative Party.
Yeah, she is. Okay, so here's, you know, we concentrate so much on what's going on over here, but I got to tell you, we've got listeners around the world. You know, it's surprising to me, but Germany is the number two nation listening to the Nicole Sandler Show, believe it or not. And I have some regular or semi-regular correspondence with a couple of people who live in Germany who send me all kinds of information. So, hi, nice to hear you. Nice to see you. But we've got some listeners in the UK as well. And I'm going to do something a little different. So because Liz Truss resigned today after, I think, 44 days as prime minister, being the shortest term of any prime minister in history. But you know this family that I'm somewhat obsessed with, the Marsh family. They sing. They're sort of like the Von Trapp family singers, only they're the Marsh family. And so, you know, about a week or maybe 10 days ago, they did a song about Liz Truss. And it's to the tune of one of the songs from Jesus Christ Superstar, a play and a movie with which I was obsessed when I was a kid. So, and they put out a follow-up today. So I'm going to sort of break format and I'm going to play you both of them because this family is wonderful. And I love that the parents get the kids involved in what's happening politically. So we'll start with the first one. It's called This Liz Truss Must Hide. And if you're familiar at all with Jesus Christ Superstar, you'll recognize this tune. If you're not, you should enjoy it anyway. All right. So here we go. the Marsh family. They got something to say.
It seems Liz Truss needs counsel what to do. Her policies at least have not cut through.
Thanks to Kwarteng, you know why we are here. We've not much time to save her whole career.
Consult the OPR, the tax cuts went too far. She's making Keir Starmer seem like some movie star.
Listen to the polling or the anger on the streets. The trickle-down's not working and the market's in retreat.
It's insane, it's traumatized.
Truss, like we're a leotard.
Splashed on a bus, we know that's popular.
No, wait. We need a more permanent solution to our problem.
What then to do about Liz Truss's strategy? Miracle growth, the plan, rip up the rules.
Blame it on COVID,
no Corbyn,
no Putin, give her a slogan. It's time to be cool.
We dare not leave her to her own devices. Her robotic hands will get out of control.
How can we stop her? The damage increases.
TV is not an option, just do a Leo.
I see bad things arising. They'll ask about fracking or migrants or banks. I see trust deconstruction. She'll bleat about pies or her very clear plans.
Budget destruction from Kwarteng.
From Kwarteng.
The humiliation of U-turns again.
From Kwarteng.
What then to do about Liz Truss's media? Human exchanges aren't really her thing.
Where do we start?
With a cameo on Strictly.
Or on The Mask Answer.
Don't say anything.
Fools, you have no perception. The stakes we are gambling are frighteningly high. She just crumbles completely. Like Boris before her, this Liz Truss must hide.
For the sake of the nation, this Liz Truss must hide.
Must hide, this Liz Truss must hide.
In the refrigerator, this Liz Truss must hide.
Must hide, this Liz Truss must hide.
They are just brilliant. The Marsh family from Kent in the UK. So that was, they recorded that song about a week ago when they knew there were problems with Liz Truss. And saying, like Boris behind, but like Boris before her, this Liz Truss must hide. It's from the song that they did a takeoff there on. It was from Jesus Christ Superstar. So if you were around in the 70s, you may remember that. I do. So this morning, I wake up. I'm doing my What's News. The news breaks. Liz Truss is resigning. So, of course, I go to YouTube to see, did the Marsh family whip one out really fast? Well, what do you think? Of course they did. And just listen, they did this on the fly really quickly once the news broke that Liz Truss resigned. The family that sings together, loves together. Take it away, guys.
There once was a brief Home Secretary. She came from the group called the ERG.
Begins the job, but then backs down. She breached the minister's code.
Sue, where the Braverman's gone. To think she'd only been there a month. Spent days just wagging her tongue. She
dream 2 weeks before of sending migrants from the shores. She clapped and called for a culture war. She'd make that airplane go.
Sue, where the Braverman's gone, to think she'd only been there a month. Spent days just wagging her tongue, she'd take her leave and go.
She swore the woke karate fought her, but Sue's emails what really caught her. Ironically, this migrant's daughter then dived out the boat.
Sue, where the Braverman's gone, to think she'd only been there a month. Spent days just wagging her tongue, she'd take her leave and go.
Her time was short, for all agree on cabinet confidentiality. And now she's gone, she can win Jan's scheme, she'll never let it go.
Sue, where the Braverman's gone, to think she'd only been there a month. Spent days just wagging her tongue, she'd take her leave and go.
For 40 days, but not much more, a time in charge was insecure. She talked of plans to change the law, but now she's had to go.
Sue, where the Braverman's gone, to think she'd only been there a month. Spent days just wagging her tongue, she'd take her leave and go. A sinking ship's the kind of song to describe this government's goings on. As far as we've heard, the Braverman's gone, done say 5 times or she might return. Sue, where the Braverman's gone, to think she'd only been there a month. Spent days just wagging her tongue, she'd take her leave and go. Sue, where the Braverman's gone, to think she'd only been there a month. Spent days just wagging her tongue, she'd take her leave and go.
Wow. The Marsh family. I love their reactions after the videos end, too. They're just the real deal. They're so talented and they're so much fun. So Dad wasn't off screen. Bradley's asking, why was Dad off screen? I cut him off on the video just in my haphazard way of putting this together. So it was about trust. It was all about Liz Truss, who they are happy to see gone. You see, they sang songs about Donald Trump. They sang songs about all the crap we've been dealing with here. So I figured it was only fair to give them a little airtime to sing about their nation, which is as embarrassed as our nation has been after 4 years of Donald Trump. Blue America, who is Suella Braverman? I don't get the reference either. There are some things that we just don't know. Unless you're a Britophile, I suppose. Maybe someone can fill us in. So do we need a little injection of American song humor? Tamara, they always do them about the U.S. They rarely do it about British politics. In fact, they were over here. They went to Disney World. They were in Kissimmee, Florida, and they did a song about that, but I didn't share it with you. But if you go to the Marsh family on YouTube, you can see all their videos. But I think we're kind of Britished out. So maybe we need a song to get us going on this Thursday for us here in America. And Lauren Mayer, she usually doesn't disappoint. And I guess she's going on vacation. So she did her song early this week. She usually puts them out on Fridays. But this one dropped last night. Thank you to Diane Russell, who told me about it yesterday. So we're a day early, but I think after the Liz Truss stuff, we need to hear from Nancy Pelosi. Because do you remember what she said on that tape that we finally saw last week? That she hoped Donald Trump would come over to the Capitol because she wanted to punch him. In fact, I actually think, if you bear with me a second, I might have that audio here if I can pull it up quickly enough. And of course, it's not right at my fingertips, but it might be close enough to do this. Nancy Pelosi, punch him, because it'll make this so much better if you can hear her say it. And of course, I don't have it there. So we'll just play the song, okay? So one more song and then we'll get down to business. Oh, Suella Braverman forced to resign as UK Home Secretary. Thank you, Tamara. See, you guys are my producers here. You answer the questions. Okay, so let's bring the attention back home and everybody sing along with Lauren Mayer.
Nancy Pelosi was calm yet snappy when insurrectionists swarmed about. And then she said what would make her happy if Donnie came, she'd punch him out. She figured safe places to keep meeting and made sure Mike Pence had fled the hall. Though talking to her for him was cheating, you know, cause Mother wasn't on the call. Despite the brawling, she stayed strong that day. Meanwhile, Josh Hawley pumped his fist, then ran away. The writer's acting all shocked and sappy, saying she was the violent one that day. Ah, cause punching Trump, she said, would make her happy. Can you blame her? So don't defame her or try to shame her. We all feel the same way.
Oh, a segue. It's a twofer.
Hello, world. See the nerve she's displaying when things get crappy. We agree with what Madam Speaker was saying. Punch Trump, get happy. We had a dream we'd defeat the orange blowhard, which we did in 2020, but it almost got wrecked. Now we're learning when everything got so hard, Pelosi guaranteed the insurrection was checked. She didn't do it as everyone could view it, so I get scrappy. She just observed it, but God knows he deserved it. Punch Trump, get happy. It would make Nancy happy. It would make us all happy.
Punch Trump, get happy. Yeah, baby. I'm going to let Lauren do her pitch here.
If you enjoyed this video or any of my weekly topical comedy songs, I hope you consider supporting them through my Patreon page, where for as little as $2 a month, you can help me continue to help you laugh at the news that would otherwise make you cry. And you can check out other ways to support my work by clicking more in the information section right below this video. Thanks.
Well, you can't do that here because, you know, there is no information section below her video. But go to Lauren Mayer Comedy Songs on YouTube and you can do just that. All right. See, that's how we get a show started. It is Thursday. Howie Klein will be here. There's a lot to talk with him about. In fact, I hope you got to hear. Yes, Partridge Family. How could you not know that? Right? So she did a mashup there. Lauren Mayer. She rocks. All right. So Howie will be here. A lot to talk to him about. In fact, if you heard Ryan Grimm on this show yesterday, you did hear, you know, we talked about the horrible, these two super PACs that are Israel aligned, AIPAC and the DMFI, Democratic Majority for Israel is what DMFI stands for. And they basically poured unheard of amounts of money into primary elections. I mean, we've seen billions of dollars being spent on general elections, right? But on primary races, not really until this time out. And they came into primary races basically to destroy the progressives in the race. And they did. They took out a number of them. So the article was great. I mean, Ryan Grimm, I'm a huge fan of his. I have been for many years. He does great work. But there was something missing in the piece. And we talked about it. I did bring it up. And I actually searched the article for Hakeem Jeffries, because Hakeem Jeffries, we'll talk with Howie about it, but basically he is the speaker in waiting. It's almost a done deal that he's going to be Speaker of the House, which I kind of don't get. He was the one working. He was basically the guy in Congress who talked to DMFI. They're his people. So he was complicit in all this. Now, when I asked Ryan, you know, I almost did it feeling bad as I was asking the question, because that was a huge story. In fact, it was some like in the neighborhood of 14,000 words. And that's a lot. That's a big piece. So, and I said, I get it that if you were to cover this aspect of it, that would be a whole other chapter, really, right? And so what he said was, that'll be for the next article and for the book. So I guess he's writing a book. Now, I do criticize people, journalists, like, for instance, in this case, Bob Woodward, who just released an audio book. with all the tapes of his interviews with Donald Trump. I can't imagine anything I'd rather listen to than Trump's voice for 8 hours, right? But don't you think if there was a newsworthy item in there that was gleaned from those tapes, for instance, that Donald Trump not only had those Kim Jong-un letters, but showed them to Bob Woodward, that we should have heard about that as a news item and not had to wait for the book to come out? But I'll play devil's advocate. Bob Woodward is not a reporter for the Washington Post anymore. So if he's not on their payroll, is he, should he be required to jump the gun on his book to release the news as he makes the news? I don't know. It's a gray area, but it's something we could talk about. Anyway, that more important than that to me is, that he does come forth with the story about how Hakeem Jeffries is involved with AIPAC and with DMFI and with the effort to cut off progressives in this primary season. And not only did they kill off a number of progressives who had a good shot at winning, Jessica Cisneros in Houston, who lost to the incumbent, what's his name? I put him out of my mind. You know, the only anti-choice so-called Democrat in the House of Representatives. You know who I'm talking about. I'm just drawing a blank on his name, probably for good reason. But, you know, they did that quite a bit. They killed off Donna Edwards' hope to return to the House. She was great, but they targeted her and she went down. They killed off a couple of sitting members of Congress as well. And when I'm saying killed off, I mean figuratively. In other words, they were beaten in the primary, and so they will not return to Congress. Marie Newman of Illinois is one. Andy Levin of Michigan is another. And Henry Cuellar. Thank you, Lauren, in the chat room. Yes, Henry Cuellar in. But I'll tell you something. There is somebody who is at risk, and that's who we're going to talk to Howie about today. We're going to talk about some of these incumbents who are doing amazing jobs in their role, in their roles in Congress. And one of them, who I know you love as much as I do, is Katie Porter. Now, Katie Porter represents a district in California, Southern California. It's in Orange County. Orange County, when I lived in LA, the joke was how conservative it was, that we called it behind the orange curtain. If you go down to Orange County, oh, you're going behind the orange curtain, because it's a different world from LA. But Katie Porter broke through and she won. I think she's in her second term now. Don't quote me on that. I'm not 100% positive. I'll ask Howie. But anyway, you know, Congress is on recess right now. But Katie Porter was there the other day for a hearing. And while the Republicans are screaming about how, you know, this irresponsible spending by the Democrats is what caused all this inflation, well, Katie Porter wishes to disavow you of that notion. And, well, just have a listen and have a look if you're watching. Hopefully you're watching one of the video feeds, because she brought out a chart. I love it when Katie brings out her charts. And it says on the Chiron, according to this chart, what is the biggest driver of inflation during the pandemic? Let's go to the videotape.
According to this chart, what is the biggest driver of inflation during the pandemic? The blue is the dark blue is the recent period.
It would be corporate profits.
And what profits is that percentage?
It is 54%, and that number does stay that level of high if you update that number to more recent numbers as well.
So over half of the increased prices people are paying are coming from increases in corporate profits.
Yes, the unit price index is reflected in corporate profits as opposed to other costs.
And how does that compare to historically to other periods of inflation or over other periods of economic time?
As reflected there and in other analysis, it is significantly higher in this recovery. 11.5%.
11.5%.
And what is it today?
53%.
Ooh.
So I want to make sure everyone in America understands this chart. What is a unit labor cost?
The cost, wages, and an associated work cost.
So we could just wages. What is a non-labor input cost?
A variety of things, including maintenance and in investments.
Okay, so I have to buy the stuff to make the widget. I have to have a factory. I have to keep the lights on. I have to hire someone to make the widget. That's this stuff. And this is what I add on top.
You know, I could listen to her for hours. I'm not exactly sure what she said there. I just know it was pretty brilliant. David, you wanted to say something?
Yes.
Okay.
As you know, you and I don't always agree on everything.
That is true.
And I would like to make a modification,
uh-oh,
perhaps, in regard to your depiction of AIPAC and the DMFI.
Okay.
I do not believe that they are, as you put it, Israel aligned. I believe they are centrist and the Republican wing of the Democratic Party aligned. I believe that their affiliation, if you want to call it that, with Israel is basically an excuse for them to piss on progressives.
Okay.
That's number one point.
AIPAC is most definitely Israel aligned.
You
can't say that they're not.
It's an American organization. Yeah. It's not sanctioned by the state of Israel. They don't necessarily disagree with what AIPAC is doing. They certainly haven't tried to stop them.
Okay.
It's not like Israel is sponsoring them, and I don't think it's accurate to try and to put that out there. The second thing is, I don't know how many of your listeners are listening or watching the various mainstream media news programs, and I hate to be perceived as being a conspiracy theorist, but it almost seems as if everything they're saying is calculated to cause people that would vote for Democrats to be discouraged. And I would like to say to the people listening, don't be discouraged.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck those motherfuckers. Go out and vote and get everyone that you know of who might be wishy-washy, I'm not going to vote, or I don't care, both parties are the same. Shake them and get them to the polls and make them fucking vote. Because this bullshit horse race that these people are trying to propagate is just that, a bullshit horse race.
Well, it is. That's the thing. And, we should all be sick of the horse race. And if you ever have the opportunity to talk back to someone in the media, someone who has power, who controls what these mainstream corporate media outlets cover, you might want to say, how about covering the issues instead of the horse race? All we've heard about for the last, couple of months, first it was, it's going to be a red wave, because, it's historic that when a new administration comes in the first midterm, the other party always has big gains. And historically, that's true. And then all of a sudden, they pay too much attention to the polls because, as we've learned, if we didn't already know, over the last few election cycles, the polls aren't always very accurate now, are they? So what do they do? Well, the polls are now showing the race tightening. That always happens as we get closer to the election, just saying. And they're saying, the Democrats, all of a sudden, after the Dobbs Supreme Court decision that overturned Roe v. Wade, and some other stupid moves that the Republicans made, the Democrats started gaining momentum. Oh, and aside from the stupid things that the Republicans did, the Democrats actually got some shit done too, stuff they were promising. Joe Biden came through on a number of fronts. And so his approval number started going up. And then the Democrats, the generic numbers, the generic polls for, would you rather see the generic Democrats control Congress or the generic Republicans? Well, the Democrats took the lead for a while, and now the Republicans took it back. Again, it's the horse race. It doesn't really matter. What they should be talking about are the issues, where all of these candidates stand on the issues. For instance, in Arizona, all they talk about is the fact that the Katie Hobbs, who's the Democrat, will not debate Carrie Lake. And the reason she gives is that Carrie Lake will not debate based on the facts. All she'll do is throw red meat and speak nonsense. In fact, let me just play this clip and then we'll get Howie on the line and continue the conversation with him. But this was, can I pull it up here? Did I put it away? Carrie Lake actually, this is infuriating, with Tulsi Gabbard on the stage with her. Yeah, Tulsi Gabbard, who's no longer a Democrat. Now she's a Trumper Republican? Really? Carrie Lake actually had the gall to say this. I hope you're sitting down.
I'm a true believer that if MLK, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., were alive today, if JFK were alive today, if our founding fathers were alive today, they would be America First Republicans.
Oh, please.
I really believe that.
Yeah, you really believe that. Give me a fucking break. After that, I need me some Howie Klein. Whoops, that was the wrong one. Let's do this.
Are you a multinational corporation hungry for a treat? Well, come on down to Schmucky Chucky's, where you'll personally be seated by Chuck Schumer himself.
So many dishes, and they're all fresh.
You're gonna love our Blue Dog special, the Dino Burger, because we say so.
A good hamburger and french fries.
And every burger comes with a side order of...
grits. I love grits. I love anything with corn. It's corn.
All for only $50,000. Wash it all down with a Dirty Debbie.
9/10 water, 1/10 orange juice. After a week or two, you drink this, it's 200 calories and it's acetic.
And wipe your mouth with a tissue print of Glass-Steagall. For dessert, try our DNC tarts.
Little cookies, tell the quality of that.
Most restaurants give you a mint, but at Schmucky Chucky's, you get complimentary.
Sweet and low.
Who picks up the tab for all this? Find out now with Howie Klein of DownWithTyranny.com on The Nicole Sandler Show.
Hello, Howie Klein.
Hi, Nicole. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. Doing okay. Just a little perplexed by some of the stuff going on in this election cycle. But, you know, how did that quote go? Politics are weird and creepy or something like that. It was Shepard Smith some many years ago, but that's always stayed with me. Politics are weird and creepy.
Yes.
And they make for strange bedfellows. So I just...
Something happened today?
And did anything happen today? Nothing out of the ordinary today. I just played a clip of Carrie Lake, this woman who was running for governor of Arizona, who spent most of her career as a TV newscaster. And
but she's not the one that they caught masturbating in front of the preschool.
No, that was some guy who was running.
Her brother-in-law, right?
Was it? Oh, I didn't see that. I just saw it was like
something or her twice removed something.
I didn't know. I didn't spend that much time on it. Yeah.
Someone from her team was jerking off, pardon the phrase, in front of a preschool. But he apologized. He said he was just stressed.
Oh, that excuses it.
She wasn't in the car. She wasn't with him at the moment.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, that's good to know. But why was he doing this outside of a preschool?
He was stressed.
Oh, he was stressed. That makes all the sense in the world.
Well, it does in his world. I mean, he's a Republican. Don't try to, imagine that you're going to make sense out of their minds.
No, I can't. I do not. Look, I saw all the Herschel Walker nonsense this week. Now, you tell me, Howie Klein. Raphael Warnock, every time I've heard him speak, I'm kind of in awe at his... He's pretty brilliant. I really like what he says.
They don't care about that in Georgia. They want a man of God. They don't want brilliant. They want a man of God.
A man of God. So the guy who is the preacher who preaches from the pulpit where Martin Luther King preached at the Ebenezer Baptist Church, he's not a man of God enough?
At God...
Not that God.
They, you know, what God they're talking about, the one with the orange complexion.
Did you see there's a picture floating around social media, and it's with this I guess, Christ-like figure in sort of a transparent, godlike pose, standing behind the orange man, sitting, of course, at the desk in the Oval Office. And this figure who looks so Christ-like, if you'll actually look at his face, it's Charles Manson. But they're spreading it around because it looks like their thought of what Jesus looks like.
Yeah.
That sort of sums up the position we're in now. I mean, it should be a no-brainer. So many of these races should be no-brainers, and yet they're, as they say in the horse race, neck and neck.
Yes, a lot of them are neck and neck. And some of the ones that were neck and neck aren't neck and neck anymore because the Republican pulled ahead.
Yeah. Well, and that's
I literally can't believe, I cannot believe that Herschel Walker has a shot. It's just unbelievable to me.
Right?
It's just, you know, how does that happen? I mean, he...
I don't know. And yes, it would
be... He shouldn't be a poll watcher.
He's what?
He shouldn't be a poll watcher.
No, he doesn't have the brain capacity to be a poll watcher. And I don't know if it's because he's naturally stupid or he just got hit too many times, you know, tackled in football and he's got CTE. But either way, did you watch that debate? It was frighteningly scary to think that he is on any par with Raphael Warnock.
Scary to me was the media saying that he did himself a lot of good.
I know. I don't watch The View, but apparently there's a woman who's one of the so-called liberals on The View, and she was saying, well, he really redeemed himself. What? What the hell did she watch? What? She's like, I watch with my father, and, you know, he likes him, and I had to give it to him. He did a good job. No, he didn't. Talk about lowering expectations. What, you're going to lower the bar to a third grade level because Herschel Walker's in the race?
I'm sure everyone in your audience agrees, but this is like just crazy. What has this country come to?
I don't know.
Georgia, though.
Yeah, Georgia, yes. But let's talk Florida.
I think good news in Georgia is that the early voting is the highest ever.
Ever. And it's a lot of huge turnout in the black community. And good on them, because what they realized, they're not waiting till the last minute to do souls to the polls or anything like that. They're saying, we know they want to keep us from voting, so we need to show up really early, first day of early voting, so that if they pull these shenanigans and they're telling us that we're not on the rolls, or we have time to fix it. And the second day and the third day. They have until November 8th. To get it fixed, which is really smart. If you have any concerns at all.
And they were gigantic also.
I know. So good for them. And I hope they keep it going like that. Don't let them take your vote from you. I mean, they're trying to do everything they can. But get in there and vote early. And that way you have some knowledge. If they're going to try to pull some shenanigans, you've got time to fight it and to get your vote back. I hope. So there's that. So, Howie, there were a number of debates this past week. Did you watch any of them?
No, I watched the clips on YouTube.
I know you're not a big Val Demings fan, and honestly, before she debated, I wasn't either. But
and
she,
you are now?
More than I was. I was really proud of her for standing up there and calling Marco Rubio out for all of his shit. She took nothing from him. In terms of she didn't take any crap from him, and she gave it to him.
Great. I thought he responded to being called out.
He came off as a liar, number one, and she called him out on his lies. As somebody who just speaks platitudes. He was quoting Bible verses, for God's sake. He just said nothing of substance, and yet she came just ready to attack. Did you see any of the clips?
Not that one. I my feeling is that she has zero chance anyway, so why bother to invest in that race?
Okay, I have to hope that she can win. I know, look, she's actually doing better here in Florida than Charlie Crist is against Governor Death Sentence. Did you hear what he did today? Oh my God. Okay, so here's a clip. Let me find it. Ron DeSantis today, this is not the right, I've got to go into today's file. I've got so many clips up here, so it's hard to keep them organized. But today, he's talking about the vaccines. So, you know, the new booster shot, they're finding, there's a news item today that the Moderna vaccine is really effective in blocking this new variant or these new variants of Omicron, which are turning out to be pretty bad. And hospitalizations are going up around the country.
Around the world. Did you hear about
Europe?
The world. It's a bad scene there now.
That's what I meant to say. It's around the world. Well, DeSantis, or death sentence, as I like to call him, has a press conference today.
DeSantis, wait. I have a question to ask you. You were talking about Moderna. Did they say anything about the other one?
No, but I have a feeling the other one is you know, effective as well. This was a press release from Moderna. I guess a new study came out that shows their booster is really effective against this new variant. So
Okay.
So now, just to back up a little bit for those who don't follow Florida politics very closely, Ron DeSantis named this guy Joseph Latipo to be Florida's Surgeon General. Doctor, and I should do the air quotes when I say doctor, Dr. Latipo, when he was brought to Florida, he said he came from California, from UCLA, where he worked on the front lines of the first wave of COVID, of the fight against COVID.
Let me guess, that wasn't true.
Well, according to the people at UCLA, they never heard of the guy. They don't know who he is, but he says that he was there. I think I'll believe the people at UCLA. Then, you know where people do know him from? Do you remember that crazy?
The Louisiana prison system.
Close. Remember the crazy woman who, with the I wish I could even remember, like there were sex, something in outer space or something. David, you probably know. This doctor, so-called doctor, and had a group of so-called doctors around her. At least there were people wearing white, you know, white jackets. And they said that the vaccines were evil, that, you know, just totally out there, batshit crazy stuff. He was part of that group. I can't remember the name of the group.
Well, there you got his qualifications right there.
There you go. So Ron DeSantis goes before the microphones today, and he says this.
Parents, by and large, most parents in Florida have opted against doing these booster shots.
No, they haven't. Most parents in Florida have not opted against doing these booster shots, but do go on, Governor.
For there, particularly for the young kids.
No.
The Surgeon General of Florida does not recommend this for young kids,
yeah.
For kids under 18.
The Surgeon General of Florida doesn't recommend the vaccine for anybody.
And basically his reason for that, there's not really been a proven benefit for that. I mean, we can get into some of the potential side effects. You don't even really need to do that. Not been a proven benefit, but it's a free state. Parents can make the other decision if that's what they want.
Oh, God. And it was a demon sperm that this doctor warned against. That's what
I think
it was.
It's a free state. Did you know that?
It's a fake. It's all a fake. It's all a hoax. Don't you know? COVID's not really an issue. It's not a deal. People didn't die. Oh, wait a minute. They did. This guy is a COVID denier.
Does he want to kill people?
Yes. That's why I call him Governor Death Sentence. Moron Death Sentence. Because he wants to kill people. He's telling them not to get vaccinated. He did an event where there were some high school kids and they came up wearing their masks and he not chided them. He harassed them. He's like, get those off. What are you doing? You don't have to wear those. He yelled at them. So it's horrible. And this Surgeon General, oh my God. This state, and so I don't know if you know, Howie, we're getting ready to move. And we're looking at, and I've got conditions laid out. If Arizona is what we're looking at. But if Carrie Lake wins, I'm not going to Arizona.
Right, and there's a good chance she's going to win.
I know.
And also that her cousin, the masturbator, may win.
Oh, God. And not only that, actually, I saw a new poll from Arizona today where Katie Hobbs was maybe just a hair ahead of Carrie Lake. And the, who else? But the
masturbator.
Not the masturbator. He's running for like a county commission seat or something. I didn't realize he was.
He is running for a school position, like a community college.
Oh my
board.
God. Well, it looks like the Carrie Lake and within the Senate, Mark Kelly, are slightly ahead, right? But the
Blake Masters.
Mark Kelly is slightly ahead of Blake Masters, and Katie Hobbs is slightly ahead of Carrie
Lake. Ahead?
Slightly ahead. This is
He was like double digits ahead.
I know. Well, that's the horse race thing. But the scary part is the Republicans running for Secretary of State and Attorney General.
Mark Fincham, who's really, really like, he may have escaped from a mental institution and someone caught him running down the road or something.
Yes. And he is in the lead now. But you know what? We're falling into the same trap that I'm criticizing the media for doing, talking about the horse race and the polls when we should be talking about the issues. These people are all batshit fucking crazy.
That's the issue.
That is the issue, and yet the media doesn't concentrate on that. Instead, they let Carrie Lake.
Neither did the Democrats. Any Democrats saying that they're batshit crazy?
No, and they're not. They're not focusing on the issues as they should be. And look, we've heard everybody from Bernie Sanders to on down the line calling them out, saying, you got to do something. You can't just talk about abortion. You got to talk about the economy. They're pretending like inflation isn't a thing. Bernie actually tweeted out a chart, and it's something that I didn't tweet it out, but something that I amplified earlier this week, the rates of inflation around the world. I guess you can, the Republicans can blame Joe Biden for the inflation in the UK, in the European Union, in Germany, in Italy, and Denmark. I mean, the whole world is suffering from bad inflation now because we've been going through a global pandemic. Our supply chains were disrupted. The computer chips are unavailable. Everything got upended, but it's all Joe Biden and his reckless spending. Well, you know what? No. You know what that is?
Bullshit.
It's bullshit.
You know, just so you know, in every country, they're blaming whoever is in power.
Of course.
And that was one of the reasons why they forced Truss to resign.
Right. So, it's just disingenuous. By the same thing, gas prices. And I know Joe Biden reacted. It was, we're going to release a whole bunch more from the strategic oil reserves. The president has nothing to do with the gas prices. And we know that Saudi Arabia is colluding with Russia to raise the prices leading up to Election Day because they want...
Russia or maybe also colluding with the Trump family?
Oh, them too, I'm sure, without a doubt. But Russia, because AIPAC Plus, this is Russia in that mix now. So they're all in it. Because they don't want the Democrats to win again. They want the Republicans. I guess they hope for a return of Trump. But you see, if we don't push back against that stuff and say, oh, the gas price, isn't that horrible? Joe Biden didn't do this. And Howie, you're a world traveler. Gas prices around the world are much higher than they are here. And people don't realize how relatively good we have it when it comes to gas prices.
Absolutely. I mean, in Europe now, someone was telling me it was $10 a gallon.
Yes. Easy. In many countries. David.
In terms of what you were saying about Arizona.
Yeah.
The local polls there, which I have to assume are as accurate or more so than other polling, because they're boots on the ground, so to speak.
Yeah.
There's one poll that shows Carrie Lake ahead. There's another poll that shows Katie Hobbs ahead.
Okay.
They're both within the margin of error. There is no current poll, if you Google it, in regard to the Arizona Secretary of State race. However, I've spoken to Max, who lives there several times, and he feels that Fincham has zero chance of
really
winning.
Well, I hope he's right.
Yes.
Because again, the media, puts their finger on the scale and they're saying he's in the lead. We don't want that. But, yes.
The group that...
The quack doctor, Latipo?
That Governor Lapdog worked for.
Surgeon General Lapdog.
America's frontline doctors.
Oh, America's frontline doctors. And she talked about the demon sperm.
The demon sperm lady.
Right.
Her name was Stella Emanuel.
Stella Emanuel. That's who the Florida Surgeon General, Joseph Latipo, that's who he pals around with, the demon sperm so-called doctor. So...
Nice. I'm not a big fan of 538.
Uh-huh.
But they're showing, as of today, Lake ahead by 0.7%.
Oh, God.
So it's very, very close, but Lake is ahead by less than a point.
Right.
But
part of that reason, I think, is because they use they take Trafalgar as though it were a real poll, and Trafalgar is not a real poll. It's a Republican poll. You pay them, you tell them what you want, and they give you what you want.
Oh, really?
So, example, this week Trafalgar did a poll for the Daily Wire, which is a right-wing organization,
right.
And they found Lake ahead by 3 points, 49-46. And that goes into the 538 averages, and that's why 538's averages are a little bit off, I think. You know, a poll that was done, you know, just before that, which is a non, you know, it wasn't done for a political organization. It, mm-hmm. it was done for a TV station, shows Hobbs ahead by a point.
I hope so. Now, you know, Howie, let me ask you, because there's controversy. She, you know, they're calling Hobbs a chicken because she won't debate her. I get it. I sound like a broken record on this one, but I always say I would like to have a good, you know, heated, not argument, but a debate, a respectful debate with a real conservative. They're just not there, but because they won't stipulate to the facts. Sky blue, grass green. Trump lost. You know, they make shit up everywhere they turn. And that's what Katie Hobbs is saying. She conflates everything. She's, you know, nothing she says is true. How can I debate her? Do you think she's right to do that?
Her lies. Hobbs is making a very big mistake by not debating
that's
her.
That's what I thought,
too. I think. You know, anyone who refuses to debate, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican, they lose votes because of it.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I wish she would, but I understand what she's saying. I don't think she has that luxury. I think she needs to do what Val Demings did and call her out and say another lie. You lie. And say to Val Demings did to Marco Rubio, what happened to you? You didn't used to lie about everything just to get elected. She really came out with a number of attacks like that.
How did Rubio respond to that? Did he say something?
Oh, he's like, he was wiping the flop sweat off his face. He did not do well. Rubio did not have a good debate. She hit the ground running, said something like one of her first remarks was, the only thing you've ever run is your mouth. You know, she had lines. She was really good. It's like, yes, you go, girl. I was like, I was so proud of her. And I wasn't expecting that. I was expecting to be dispirited when the whole thing was over. But she fired me up. She was really good.
Great.
And Katie Hobbs can do that. But now she can't. And instead, you got Carrie Lake, who is skilled with a microphone. She knows how to work the camera. She knows how to work the microphone. Her husband, apparently, is a videographer, and he follows her around all the time. She's always wearing a lavalier mic, and he's taping her at all times to get that right footage to put up. They're very media savvy, and that's scary. David,
you mentioned the line that Demings used, that the only thing he's ever, she stole that
from who?
Coleman Young, who was the mayor of Detroit. And when Jesse Jackson ran for president, Coleman Young
said that to
the
him.
The only thing Jesse Jackson has ever run is his mouth.
Oh, well, you know what? Most of us don't know that, David. You're the odd man out. Most people just heard Val Demings say it and thought that was a good one.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't know about Coleman Young, but I know that has been said a billion times.
Sure, but she came right out of the gate. She was there on a number of issues. At one point, you know, Rubio brought out she believes in abortion on demand with no limits and up until at the moment of birth. And I was kind of angry that she didn't really say, you know, call him out on that, but she said, just how gullible do you think Florida voters are? You know, she just threw it back in his face. And again, I was pretty impressed with her.
But you think she should have denied it right then and there, because it's not true anyway. But she sort of did deny it, but not explicitly.
Right, not forcefully enough. What she did, what she went at him forcefully on, is that he supports abortion in all instances with no exceptions for rape, incest, anything else. That's the point she went in on. And then at the very end of her answer, she said, I believe in abortion on demand up to the point of viability. period. So, you know, statement of fact, and that's what she believes. It's not up to the point of, but see, my problem is every one of them go, they go on TV every time they get a microphone, they say, and those Democrats, they believe in infanticide. They want abortion on demand up until and even past the moment of birth, which is bullshit. Yeah, I know.
But what is the point of viability? Do you know?
It's probably about 24, 25, 26 weeks.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. And that you're not assured. I mean, that it's still going to be hit and miss. It's not like if you give birth at 25 weeks, the baby's home free. They're still going to have problems. But before that, you know, not. You know, there's another thing that is up at Crooks and Liars today. I didn't see it anywhere else, but it's probably making the rounds. Digby has it. It's on Digby's blog as well. And it's photographs of what the tissue at 6 weeks looks like when it's aborted, because these people believe it's a fully formed baby with a heartbeat. It's white tissue. There's nothing there. It's a tiny little pinprick, and there's no heartbeat there.
It's sucking its thumb, right?
What? What's that?
It's sucking its thumb and looking at
you. Oh, yeah,
with big
right.
Eyes.
Big eyes. Yeah. No, it's white tissue. That's all it is. It's tissue. It's not.
So it's not on a bottle?
No, not drinking a bottle, not sucking its thumb, not jerking off, not doing anything.
Not in preschool?
Not in a preschool parking lot, even that. Yeah. Oh, at 20 weeks, they feel pleasure. Well, did somebody tell you that? And maybe at 20 weeks, they do. But, you know, still. And nobody is having a third-term abortion just because, oh, they woke up one day and changed their mind and said, don't want this kid anymore. The only time an abortion is done so late in the term is if the mother's life is at risk. That's when they do that. And yes, if the mother's life is at risk, then that should be an option. But nobody's performing an abortion on a baby who's being born. It's just asinine. And I hear these politicians go on TV and make that claim, and the so-called journalists who are interviewing them don't push back on it. And that, I think, is a problem. That's their job. Call out the bullshit. If somebody makes a blatantly false statement, call them out. So that's me. One other thing I wanted to bring up with you, Howie, and is now, of course, we're hitting the end of the hour, is I had Ryan Grimm on the show the other day. I know you have a piece up at Down with Tyranny about the piece he wrote about AIPAC and DMFI. And I sent you this in an email. You know, when I'm reading through the piece and I'm like halfway through and I noticed I didn't even see Hakeem Jeffries' name on there. And I asked him about it. And he said,
as had I.
Right. As had you. Because he is a big part of the story that wasn't told in this article. Now, in Ryan's defense, not that he needs defending, that was a 14,000-word article. There was a lot there, and I think it was all important. If he were to add on the whole involvement of Hakeem Jeffries and the other complicit Democrats, it would be another huge piece. So he said he's writing another one and writing a book. I hope he doesn't wait too long to get that new piece up, because people need to know that Hakeem Jeffries is involved in this shit.
Right. I don't know that it's going to come up before Hakeem Jeffries is elected speaker.
Wow. Well, that's presuming the Democrats win. You think they're going to?
Well, I shouldn't have said speaker. No, I don't think they're going to. And I meant leader of the Democratic Party.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah. He's got to be the lead. He's got to be the Democrats have to have control of the House in order for him to be speaker.
He will still be their leader.
Oh, God. And Kevin McCarthy will be the speaker? I'm talking about leaving Florida if Ron DeSantis is reelected. If that party controls either House of Congress, maybe I should start thinking about where in the world I can go.
There are some wonderful places. As you know, I went and lived overseas when Nixon was elected.
Right.
There are definitely wonderful places to go, and you have a rich experience, and it's not, you know, and then, you know, the next time they elect some horrible Democrat, you could come back.
or not. Although, the whole world is in turmoil right now. I don't think there's any, like, get out of jail free card and go here and all is going to be good.
Right. That's true.
Where would you go if you could just pick anywhere in the world and just go?
Well, I could pick anywhere and just go, but I've thought about it, and I don't think I would. I mean, I did it. You know, Amsterdam I love, but it's very, very cold in the winter, and I can't take that anymore. I'm too old for the cold.
You know, that's part of the why we're talking Arizona or here, because David won't go anywhere where it's cold. So that cuts out a lot of places. So we're looking at Arizona, Florida, or maybe the high desert of California. I don't know, because California is pretty much unaffordable for us. But
well, not the high desert.
That's where people are moving to.
That's affordable.
Okay. Well, keep your ears open, because we might have to go there. I don't know. We'll see what happens. We got basically less than 3 weeks to get your vote in. I'm not calling it election day anymore. I'm calling it the last day to get your votes in. Because
yes,
it's not election day.
A lot of people are doing that.
Right. So that's what we do. All right. Howie,
I voted the other day.
Did you? We have our ballots here. I'm just in Florida. We have to fill out all these judicial races, and I don't know who the damn judges are. So I've got to sit here on the computer. What?
One way to do that is if they're running for re-election, find out who nominated them. Who appointed them.
Right. Right.
Two of the judges who were up for, reappointment or whatever it is, were appointed by Republicans.
Right.
So I didn't know anything about their records, but I knew that, and I didn't vote for them. You vote yes or no, and in one case I voted no, and in the other case I left it blank.
Right. Well, we voted no on retaining all the Florida Supreme Court justices, because they're all Rick Scott and death sentence appointees, so they're all no. But there are other, like Circuit, Fort Lauderdale, and who do you want in there, and it's not about an incumbent, it's about picking somebody.
Well, there are probably voter guides available online that you should find.
Yeah.
I don't know the ones for Florida. I checked with some of the ones for California and for Los Angeles County, and it took me a few hours, but I did my whole ballot. It was very, very long, and lots and lots of judges and school board members and stuff like that.
Yep.
And I didn't just want to go by what one voter guide said. So I really wanted to find out what is being said in general.
Exactly. And I just have to put aside a couple hours to do it. David.
Yeah.
Yes.
Hey, Howie.
Yo.
How about Australia or New Zealand? They even kind of speak English there. Kind of.
They do. They do speak English. I've never been to New Zealand. Friends of mine have gone there. Even some have gone there and lived there for a while. And I hear good stuff about it. I've been to Australia. And it's in some ways it's a lot like California, but they've got a very thriving right wing there as well.
They
by
do.
The way,
they do, and they're very kind of sexist over there. I have a good friend who a music industry person who moved to Australia to do international marketing for I forget what label, but she was there for a few years, and she said the sexism is just off the charts. It's like it was here in the 50s. So she had a hard time with that. But New Zealand is the home of Crowded House, so they got that going for them. I love Crowded House.
A lot of good things about New Zealand.
That's what I hear.
And it's supposedly a pretty good place in terms of finances as well.
Oh, yeah. Hmm. All right. I may have to reach out to the Finn brothers and say, hey, what can you tell me? Not that they, would take my call, but they're the only people I sort of know over there.
Anyway, they might.
Yeah, they might. They never know. I've been fortunate enough to interview them a few times, so maybe they would remember me. I don't know. It's just the only thing I know about New Zealand. What's that?
Maybe they would think you want to interview them again, so they take the call and then get disappointed.
Yeah, that'd be great. No, I'd interview them any day of the week. Are you kidding? A Crowded House concert pops up on YouTube every now and then because they put them out there. I love that band. There's a non sequitur for you. All right, Howie Klein, we are out of time. We'll pick this up again next week as we get ever closer to the end of voting. Thanks, Howie.
By the way, I was going to invite a candidate to come on today. I was going to give you a surprise.
Yeah.
The idea was he was going to come to my house. I was going to meet him for the first time. He's not an endorsed candidate, but he backed out at the last minute.
Oh, okay. Well, another time.
They figured out that you and I are considerably to the left of where he is.
Oh.
And I get out, it probably wouldn't be a good idea.
Well, I did see you published a piece from Adam Schiff at downwithtyranny.com.
Also by Jim Himes. Both of them are new Dems.
Wow.
But I respect both of those guys. I know both of them. And for a long time, I've known them both for a long time. And I'm not endorsing them.
Right.
And they certainly weren't writing anything that I don't agree with in either case. They were both, basically talking about why people should vote for Democrats in November.
Right.
And they both had good things to say. I mean, Adam has turned more and more progressive over the years, absolutely more. And he, the stuff he said was just fine. People attacked him. To me, they'd say, oh, how could you have Adam Schiff on there? Yeah. But no one could attack what he said.
Right, right.
Now, and it came to him suggesting people to donate to. If you'll look, they're all like super progressives. He didn't ask me to, Blue America fans or Down with Tyranny fans to give money to any new Dems. It was all like very, very progressive people like Summer Lee.
Wow. Oh, that's what I wanted to talk to you about. Before we go, let's talk about Summer Lee, and I'll bring it up next week before we're kicked off of, before we end our time on Progressive Voices. Summer Lee is somebody that I talked with Ryan Grimm about because she was doing well. She's in a blue district. She should have gotten, once she made it through the primary, she should be home free, but now they're targeting her again? What's going on?
Okay, well, the Republican is named Mike Doyle.
Oh, right.
So there's a real Mike Doyle who's been the congressman there for 200 years, and it's a very common name. And the Republican is kind of making believe, if you don't pay attention and you don't read between the lines, he's pretending that he is really Mike Doyle.
Right.
Well, he is Mike Doyle, but he's not the Mike Doyle. So people are confused, and Kevin McCarthy jumped in at the last second and started spending money. So 2 days ago, Ted Lieu called me from Pittsburgh, where he was doing an event with Summer, and said, Howie, we have a problem here. We need you to help. So that's why me and John and Digby all have posts up about this race, and Blue America also sent out a letter, and we also are now advertising. We have every person who lives in that district who uses Facebook and Instagram is going to see between 4 and 6 of our ads before Election Day.
Oh, good. Good. So anybody in the, she's in the, is she in the Pittsburgh area?
She has basically most of the city of Pittsburgh and the suburbs to the east of Pittsburgh. That's where it had been in like a D plus 28 or something like that.
Uh-huh.
And now it's a D plus 12. So still very strong. And when I'm not talking about PVI, by the way, I'm talking about a partisan lean. So the partisan lean is still very strongly Democratic. And it's just if people are confused and they think they're voting for Mike Doyle, that's where the problem comes in.
Right, the wrong Mike Doyle. They think they're voting for the former Congressman Mike Doyle when this is a Republican who's not related.
Right, exactly. And Doyle did a press conference to emphasize that as well. But remember, there's something else here. AIPAC and DMFI spent $3 million just smearing Summer Lee, just smearing her up and down and saying horrible things about her. And that's still in some people's minds. And, they might think, I'd much rather have Democrat Mike Doyle. And the Republican Mike Doyle never puts Republican on any of his advertising.
Of course.
He never says that. It's not on his website. He's a real slimy character.
Wow. Well, politics is slimy and creepy. I think I have that clip here somewhere. I'll have to find it. Okay, now, for real, I'll let you go. Howie Klein, find him at downwithtyranny.com. While you're there, put a /blue-america-pack on the end of it. You'll get to the Blue America pack. The candidates who are still in the race need money. If you can help them, help them. What candidates do we still have? Do Blue America still have out there?
Let's emphasize Summer Lee.
Let's emphasize Summer Lee.
And on the other side of Pittsburgh, Chris DeLuzio.
Okay.
So we have two Pittsburgh candidates that are very important, Chris DeLuzio and Summer Lee.
There you go. All right. We gotta do this thing because I don't want to think about what it's going to look like in 2023 and 2024 if we don't. All right, Howie. Talk to you next week.
Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye. When he's gone. Boom. Howie's a busy guy. All right. With that, we are done. Thank you, for as always, for being here, for bearing with me, for, with my usual flakiness here. Tomorrow's Friday. I don't know what we'll do, but we'll have a Friday. All right. Yes. And yes, he had Adam Schiff and Jim Hines write pieces on downwithtyranny.com. So how he's getting with the program. All right. I'll leave you with the news and I'll see you tomorrow. Thanks for listening, everybody. Have a great night. Bye.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
We begin this Thursday with breaking news just as we're going to press. Word that UK Prime Minister Liz Truss announced her resignation after just 44 days in office and a 10-year marked by economic and political turmoil. Truss could not regain support within her Conservative Party even after reversing her signature plan for big tax cuts for the wealthy and corporations funded by big borrowing, which had spooked investors and sunk the British pound. Stay tuned for more on this developing story. It could be described as a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Donald Trump's Wednesday. That's when a federal judge ordered John Eastman, he's the lawyer who colluded with the former guy about overturning the election, to hand over 33 more emails to the January 6th House Committee. In an 18-page opinion, Judge David Carter wrote that Donald Trump signed a document swearing under oath that information in the Georgia lawsuit was true, even though his own lawyers had explicitly told him it was false. The emails, Judge Carter wrote, quote, show that President Trump knew that the specific numbers of voter fraud were wrong, but he continued to tout those numbers both in court and to the public. So 33 more emails going to the committee. Meanwhile, despite his best efforts to delay and entirely get out of it, the former guy reportedly did answer questions under oath on Wednesday as he was finally deposed in the defamation lawsuit filed by E. Jean Carroll. She was a magazine columnist who has long claimed that Trump raped her in a department store dressing room in the mid-90s. So that happened. And then there's this. In private discussions with Trump's team, as well as in court filings, the Justice Department has made it clear that it believes that Donald Trump failed to comply with a May subpoena ordering the return of all documents marked as classified and that more government records remain missing. So they're now weighing whether or not to allow federal agents to return to Mar-a-Lago to conduct a supervised search to find those sensitive documents the government still believes Trump is holding on to. With the end of voting in the 2022 midterms now less than 3 weeks away, Americans have a lot to consider. Well, consider this. The man who more than anything wants to be Speaker of the House, that would be Minority Leader Kevin McCarthy, said Republicans will not hand a blank check to Ukraine if they win next month's elections, thereby apparently confirming that bipartisan congressional support for Ukraine in its fight defending against Russia is wavering. McCarthy said, quote, I think people are going to be sitting in a recession and they're not going to want to write a blank check to Ukraine. Okay. And the way he'll cut that spending? Kevin McCarthy telegraphed that earlier in the week when he threatened to use the debt limit as leverage to force spending cuts, including to Medicare and Social Security. So once again, the Republican Party is threatening to tank the full faith and credit of the United States to achieve their political goals and inflict more pain on the poor and seniors in the U.S. Just lovely. Meanwhile, the right-wing rhetoric and propaganda continues to threaten the public safety. An 80-year-old Georgia man was arrested Wednesday evening outside of the U.S. Supreme Court. In a series of tweets, the U.S. Capitol Police had noted officers responded to a reported suspicious vehicle parked illegally on the 100 block of East Capitol Street. Well, his car was filled with weapons. The disinformation continues. The conspiracy theorists who've taken control of most of today's Republican Party continue to try to rewrite history. At a campaign appearance in Arizona on Wednesday, Republican gubernatorial candidate Carrie Lake made this ridiculous claim.
I'm a true believer that if MLK, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., were alive today, if JFK were alive today, if our founding fathers were alive today, they would be America first Republicans. I really believe that.
Unreal. Make no mistake. Neither Martin Luther King or John F. Kennedy would have anything to do with fascist liars like Lake. And no, while we're on the subject, JFK Jr. is not still alive. And if he were, he would also not be a Republican. Just saying. And in a somewhat related story, files held by the National Archives related to JFK's assassination were mandated by the so-called JFK Records Act to be fully released by 2017, but they haven't been. So the Mary Farrell Foundation, that's a research organization that claims to hold the largest collection of online records pertaining to the former president, John F. Kennedy, is suing to get the thousands of documents they claim are still secret. Also threatening the public safety, another big Republican propaganda push concerns COVID-19 and the pandemic we are still experiencing. As I keep reminding you, COVID is not over. In fact, the world is bracing for a swarm of viruses and a new evolutionary phase in the pandemic this fall and winter. Instead of a single letter of the Greek alphabet to identify them, we're looking at a group of variants popping up across the globe. One thing they all have in common is that they appear to have evolved to evade immunity protections. So please pay attention and get the new booster, because new data from Moderna indicates that its updated COVID-19 booster vaccine triggers a, quote, superior immune response against the Omicron variant than their original vaccine. Seriously, trust the science. And before we end, another Florida moment. The only way I can describe it. Florida's Board of Education approved new rules on Wednesday to enact several high-profile laws passed by Republicans this year, including the Parental Rights Law, better known as the Don't Say Gay Bill, and a separate one requiring schools to notify parents if bathrooms aren't separated by biological sex. Under the Don't Say Gay rule, teachers now run the risk of losing their credentials for leading instruction on sexual orientation or gender identity to students in kindergarten through grade 3, as well as certain lessons on race that are included in the Stop Woke Act that the same governor put forth. Florida, just a few more reasons to vote blue. That's an opinion from me, your host. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.